RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has promised to distribute 100 billion rupiah to appreciate it throughout Indonesia, which can use the funds to change their image in accordance with their own characteristics. Speaking to all mayors during the opening ceremony of a meeting of Indonesian City Administration Association (APEXI) in Ambon, Maluku on Wednesday, he pointed out that the development funds would be disbursed only if the municipal administration met all requirements. As quoted by Kompas.com, President Joko Widodo said that there are certain requirements. For instance, the funds should be used to construct roads, market buildings, or space for street traders. Previously, APEXI chairman G.S. Lumentun, who is also Manado's mayor, said the central government should distribute road repair funds to be managed by municipal administrations. President Joko Widodo also stated that the budget should be managed through the e-budgeting system, better public services, and rapid issuance of investment permits. The Indonesian Commission for Child Protection, KPAI, supports a bill being adopted at the House of Representatives that would ban, with some exception, the production, distribution, sale, and consumption of alcoholic drinks across Indonesia. The head of KPAI, Asrorund Niam, solid tall news portal Detik.com on Wednesday, that it is the time for the government to be decisive to take action to protect Indonesian children from drugs and alcohol abuses. Currently, there are local laws that limit the distribution of alcoholic drinks in various parts of the country. There is a ministerial regulation that recently went into effect that bans the sale of alcoholic beverages in convenience stores. But according to the KPAI head, uniform nationwide legislation would make it easier to protect Indonesian children against alcohol abuse. 9 Swedish businesses gather with Indonesian government officials in Jakarta in Pots to Pure, the establishment of so-called smart cities in Indonesia amid President Joko Widodo's plan to speed up infrastructure development in the country. The concept of smart city usually refers to an area that is highly connected through advanced information and communication technology, enabling swift and real-time flow of information throughout the city that can provide better management of the city resources. Almost 200 participants attended the Indonesian-Sweden Infrastructure Forum 2015 on Wednesday. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Creative Economy Agency, along with Indonesian Communication and Information Ministry and Law and Human Rights Ministry, has agreed to step up efforts to protect intellectual property rights, IP, and address piracy in the film industry. The head of the Creative Economy Agency, Triawan Munaf, said that one of the agency's main agendas this year was to boost efforts to protect IP rights. The agency would immediately sign a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, with the Law and Human Rights Ministry Director General for Intellectual Property Rights to strengthen its fight against infringement of intellectual property rights. According to Triawan, the film industry does not significantly contribute to the country's GDP, in the creative sector. Piracy hampers the growth of this industry. Association of Indonesian Film Producers, APROFI, head Sila Timothy said that with the protection of intellectual property rights, movie makers can develop films into other creative products, including games, books, music, as well as performance art. Indonesia Minister of Environment and Forestry believes that synergy among stakeholders can minimize the impact of climate change. Head of the Climate Change Division of the Ministry, Tri Widyawati, said in Kupang on Wednesday. According to Widyawati, management of climate change should be a collaborative function of the government and administration and should be practiced across sectors to all work more planned and integrated. Climate change can be managed by communities by implementing local programs such as Climate Village, locally called Kampung Iklim or Froklim, which is derived from traditional wisdom. Froklim is a program that awards the community for its active participation in integrated climate change mitigation and adaptation. Widyawati added that it is expected to reduce the effects of greenhouse gases and improve the role of communities in climate change management. The last item. Indonesian state-owned oil and gas enterprises PT Pertamina will commence operating the first phase of residual fluid catalytic cracking (RAP) refinery by July to reduce dependence on imported fuel. Director of Process Rahmat Hardadi said in Jakarta on Wednesday, the refinery in Cilacap, Central Java will be in operation by August 2015 at the latest. He added, besides increasing the production capacity of around 92, RFCC production can also reduce the hard import of raw oil and gas. RFCC can also raise the national production of liquefied petroleum gas LPG as well as that of oil and gas and increase the refinery's margin. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, our commentary today entitled "The End of Debate Over Death Penalty." In Indonesia, more recently, the enforcement of the death penalty for a number of criminal cases has been highlighted by many parties, both inside and outside Indonesia. Despite the fact that the death penalty has been carried out in Indonesia since the colonial era, even then sons of death were without going through the proper judicial process. Yes, the debate is now coming out almost, because most of the convicts are foreign nationals. Despite political motive or not, as foreign countries have accused, Indonesia has executed inmates of drugs respectively in two rows, and this will continue. Indonesia has a very obvious reason. This country is in a state of emergency over drugs. There is no other option. Based on criminal law of Indonesia, anyone who commits a crime of drugs will be subject to the death penalty. There are some people asking the fairness of the death penalty enforcement. While waiting the legal proceedings, the convicts had been undergoing training for many years in a correctional institution, and they have asked for apology. Not to mention the indication of the court officers were not clean. Prove it. Vice President Yusuf Kalla challenged. We certainly agree. After all, Indonesia people keeps managing themselves, because since the beginning of the reform era, this nation has been determined to make the law as a commander in the state and nation. The fact that the process of the execution takes a long time, we supersede it as an opportunity for the convicts. They can use their rights based on Indonesian law to receive clemency, for example through the mechanism of judicial review, by submitting new evidences as carried out by Mary Jane Vista, fellow of the Philippines, who has been punished to death penalty over the case of heroin within 2.6 kilograms. For more benefits, of course, we hope that each case should be seen more clearly and not partially, but it should not be generalized, whereas a case has specificity compared to other cases. For a few times, Indonesia has have to struggle to liberate his citizens from death execution by other countries. Some of them were successfully freed, but some were also ultimately executed. However, it should be noted here that the struggle of Indonesia still based on the House of Countries laws and Indonesia, pays attention to the ethics of international relations. This time, there is no longer any country trying to blindly threaten or to boycott. We do not have to spend time for long debate. Let's understand together whether capital punishment is still necessary or not. If yes, what kind of crime is it? There are many other questions that should be answered, as the world community might agree. These days, Indonesia should be assisted in enforcing the law in order to become a sort of justice and order. Indonesia must also be helped to combat against narcotics-related crimes, so that no more people are going to be executed. At least, do not visit Indonesia if you simply want to make a transaction on narcotics or drugs. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on May 7, 1949, when Indonesia and the Netherlands signed Roemrooyen Agreement. Listener, although Indonesia's independence was proclaimed on August 17, 1945, the Dutch still did not recognize the independence of Indonesia. On 19 December 1948, the Dutch launched military aggression by attacking Yogyakarta city and arrested President and Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia. Indonesia persistently defended the independence from the Dutch aggression. Finally, the armed conflict ended with diplomacy. One of the diplomacies was Roemrooyen. The Roem van Rooyen Agreement was an agreement made between Indonesia and the Netherlands on May 7, 1949. The name was derived between the two principal negotiators at the meeting, namely Muhammad Roem and Jan Herman van Rooyen. The purpose of the meeting was to iron out outstanding issues prior to Indonesian independence, which was to be granted at the Roundtable Conference at The Hague later the same year. The next event was in 1954 when the Battle of Dien Bien Phu ended. The Battle of Dien Bien Phu was the climatic confrontation of the First Indochina War between the French Union's French Far East Expeditionary Corps and Viet Minh Communist Nationalist Revolutionaries. It was, from the French view before the event, a set piece battle to draw out the Vietnamese and destroy them with superior firepower. The battle occurred between March and May 1954 and culminated in a comprehensive French defeat that influenced negotiations over the future of Indochina at Geneva. Military historian Martin Windrow wrote that Dien Bien Phu was the first time that a non-European colonial independence movement had evolved through all the stages from guerrilla bands to a conventionally organized an equipped army able to defeat a modern Western occupier in pitched battle. The war ended shortly after the Battle of Dien Bien Phu and the signing of the 1954 Geneva Accords. France agreed to withdraw its forces from all its colonies in French Indochina, while stipulating that Vietnam would be temporarily divided at the 17th parallel, with control of the north given to the Viet Minh as the Democratic Republic of Vietnam under Ho Chi Minh and the South becoming the State of Vietnam nominally under Emperor Bao Dai, preventing Ho Chi Minh from gaining control of the entire country. the refusal of Ngo Dinh Diem to allow elections in 1956, as had been stipulated by the Geneva Conference, eventually led to the first phase of the Second Indochina War, better known as the Vietnam War. And the next event was in 2007 when Israel archaeologists found the King Herod's tomb at the south of Jerusalem City. Archaeologists from Hebrew University in Israel found the King Herod's tomb at the south of Jerusalem City. The tomb is under a hill where the Herod Palace stood. The tomb was found by Ehud Netzer, a professor of Hebrew University. He has investigated the existing of Herodium since 1972 based on the note of Jewish historian Josephus Flavius in the first century. Herod, also known as Herod the Great and Herod I, was a Roman client king of Judea, referred to as the Herodian Kingdom. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's focus entitled Indonesia Stops Sending Informal Migrant Workers to the Middle East. Listener, the Indonesian government finally stops the dispatch of Indonesian migrant workers for domestic helpers to 21 countries in the Middle East. As for Malaysia and the Asia-Pacific countries, Indonesia only tightens the regulation. Manpower Minister Hanif Dakhiri in Jakarta explained the consequences of the termination of all the placement of migrant workers to 21 Middle Eastern countries are prohibited and in the category of the human trafficking crime. The 21 countries in the Middle East, including Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Iraq, Iran, Kuwait, Lebanon, Libya, Morocco, Mauritania, Egypt, Oman, Pakistan, Palestine, Qatar, South Sudan, Syria, Tunisia, United Arab Emirates, Yemen, and Jordan. Dakhiri Hanif said the government has finally decided to impose a moratorium on the dispatch of migrant workers to Saudi Arabia after being pressured by various parties following tragic ordeals suffered by several female migrant workers in the Middle Eastern Kingdom. According to Hanif, several considerations of stopping the domestic workers to the Middle East, among others, are the bargaining position of the migrant workers. As the result, many workers are not able to return home because they are prohibited by their employers, although the working contract period has expired. They are then transferred to other employers. In addition, the standard of salaries in the Middle East is very low. Hanif also said the policy is in accordance with the direction of President Joko Widodo and recommendations from a number of ambassadors and embassies in the Middle Eastern countries. Hanif asserted as an anticipatory step, the government will continue to increase working opportunity in the country and support the provision of incentives on labor-intensive industries and to develop the wage system for workers. In addition, the government also provides incentives entrepreneurship training in the migrant worker area contributors so that later they can work independently with various levels. It aims to make the job seekers to keep working in the country. Related to this, Head of Public Relations of Manpower Ministry, Suhartono, said his ministry has also revoked licenses of private Indonesian migrant worker recruitment and placement agencies, or PPTKIs, which has placed Indonesian migrant workers in household sector, especially to the Middle East. According to Suhartono, there are 12 companies which licenses have been revoked. Thus, total licenses that have been revoked since October 2014 is 42. This was done because the private Indonesian migrant worker recruitment and placement agencies has violated administrative regulations. For example, they do not have adequate shelters and are not prepared prospective workers in accordance with the regulations. Meanwhile, a member of House's Commission 9, Rizky Sadiq, supports the government's steps. But he reminds the moratorium of sending Indonesian migrant workers to the Middle Eastern countries should be accompanied by preparation of draft regulations, data updates, and roadmap to be applicable immediately. In addition, there should be coordination with other stakeholders, such as the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Immigration, and the National Agency for the Placement and Protection of Migrant Workers, or BNP2TKI. There should be a joint synergy with other competent institutions. And listener, that was Focus.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has promised to distribute 100 billion rupiah to every city throughout Indonesia, which can use the funds to change their images in accordance with their own characteristics. Speaking to all mayors during the opening ceremony of the meeting of Indonesian City Administration Association (AFEKSI) in Ambon, Maluku on Wednesday, he pointed out that development funds would be disbursed only if the municipal administration met all requirements. The Indonesian Commission for Child Protection (KPAI) supports a bill being drafted at the House of Representatives that would ban, with some exception, the production, distribution, sale, and consumption of alcoholic drinks across Indonesia. 9 Swedish businesses gathered with Indonesian government officials in Jakarta in votes to spur the establishment of so-called smart cities in Indonesia amid President Joko Widodo's plan to speed up infrastructure development in the country. Krati Economy Agency, along with Indonesian Communications and Information Ministry and Law and Human Rights Ministry, has agreed to step up efforts to protect intellectual property rights (IP) and address piracy in the film industry. The head of the Krati Economy Agency, Triawan Munaf, said that one of the agency's main agendas this year was to boost efforts to protect IP rights. Indonesia Minister of Environment and Forestry believes that synergy among stakeholders can minimize the impact of climate change. Head of the Climate Change Division of the Ministry, Tri Widiawati, said in Kupang on Wednesday. According to Widiawati, management climate change should be a collaborative function of the government and administration and should be practiced across sectors to make all work more planned and integrated. Indonesian state-owned oil and gas enterprises PT Pertamina will commence operating the first phase of the residual flute catalytic cracking RFCC refinery by July to reduce dependence on imported fuel. Director of Process Rahmat Hadadi said in Jakarta on Wednesday the refinery in Cilacap Central, Java will be in operation by August 2015 at the latest. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, to inform you some headlines of national newspaper published in Jakarta on Tuesday 7th of May 2015. Let's start highlighting Kompas Daily. In its headline, Kompas writes, infrastructure project start being built. A lot of infrastructure projects start being built in May, because the down payment of the project can already be disbursed. Until yesterday, 80% of the project package has been tendered. Even so, the contractors are still waiting land procurement to start building the projects. During a meeting with editors and economic editors at the State Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday night, President Joko Widodo urged the state owned enterprises to start project despite the land acquisition has not been completed. However, some state-owned enterprises admit that it is rather difficult to do if the land acquisition has not been above 75%. Tempo Daily writes in its headline, Vice President Yusuf Kalla wants reshuffle and President Joko Widodo wants evaluation. Vice President Muhammad Yusuf Kalla expressed again that cabinet needs to be reshuffled. He said the reshuffle might be carried out not only the ministers but also some officials appointed by President Joko Widodo. This is aimed at improving the performance of the government. Vice President Kala said after opening a seminar about intellectual property at Luansa Hotel Jakarta yesterday. Anyone who was appointed by the president could be replaced. However, Vice President Kala would not comment on when the right time to reshuffle the cabinet. The unsatisfactory performance of the working cabinet of Joko Widodo Yusuf Kala administration has been in deep criticized. The assessment, for example, was reflected in the result of Persigi for tracking Indonesia reported last April. The result of the Sigi said Minister of Economic Affairs was ranked first with the worst performance. The second rank was occupied by Minister of Legal Affairs. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia newspaper writes in its headline, Maintaining Purchasing Power. Soaring prices of staples such as rice, sugar, eggs, chicken, and red peppers and onions in some areas had been triggering not only inflation but also lowering purchasing power. In fact, public purchasing power, which is stable, could force the economy massively. Further effects can drive the national economic growth. Governor of Bank Indonesia Agus Martowardoyo said that controlling food prices is important so that people's purchasing power is not eroded by serious inflation. Listener, we come to an end of today's headlines written by some national newspaper. Republika Daily writes, non-performing export policy. President Joko Widodo called Governor of Bank Indonesia Agus Martowardoyo and Minister of Finance Bambang Brojonegoro a day after the Central Bureau of Statistics BPS released the economic performance in the first quarter of 2015. BPS recorded that the economy grew 4.71% during the first 3 months of 2015, or it slowed down when compared to the same period last year, which reached 5.14%. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus proposed that the government should change the export policy to prevent recruitment slowdown in the next quarter. According to Governor Agus, the government should immediately downstream and verify export markets. He added, if the government does not take an immediate action, this will have an impact on Indonesia. Listener, those were some headlines of national newspaper published on Tuesday 7 May 2015. Thanks for listening.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015 august11, 2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is Coming to Indonesia. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015, brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I will invite you to visit Lake Sanongguang in East Nusa Tenggara. So, stay tuned. Flores Island in East Nusa Tenggara is very well known for its volcanic mountains. There were volcanic eruptions on the island of Flores from West Flores to East Flores for several times. As the result, various hano or lakes in the local language of East Manggarai residents can be found. On this island, there is a large volcanic lake and named Lake Sanongguang. Sano in Kempo language means a lake, while Guang means light. Sanongguang means volcanic lakes or lakes that are light up. Sanongguang Lake is approximately 63 kilometers or about 3 hours drive from Labuan Bajo, a small port city on the western tip of Flores Island, and is the capital of West Manggarai. Labuan Bajo is accessible by plane from Bali. Then from Labuan Bajo through Trans Flores Path, the journey continues to Nunang Village, the entrance to the Lake Sanongguang. Lake Sanongguang is located at an altitude of 750 meters above the sea level and has a depth of about 600 meters. The lake is the main attraction because it has a relatively high sulfur content. A pungent sulfur smell will smell around the lake area. Therefore, bathing for skin health is one of the main objectives to travel to this lake. For bathing, there are hot springs at the end of this lake. In addition to the bath, there are also activities you can do here. Among other things, recreation with horses back riding around the lake, bird watching, trekking, and photography. From various activities we can do, enjoying the scenery is an interesting thing to do, especially the nature and forests around the lake is still fairly natural and beautiful. For around the lake, you can ride a horse or trekking to enjoy the view of the lake from a high place. Short trekking paths and the choice of regular traveler is Golo Dewa Peak, or also known as Savana Peak. Trekking can be reached for about 4 hours round trip. From the peak, you can enjoy the view of Lake Sanongguang, beliling forests and small islands in the vicinity. Moreover, in this area you can also enjoy local food and traditional carving. Pocho Dadang Peak is another part for your choice. This part is more challenging because it includes steep hills and dense forests. Lake Sanongguang has a beautiful landscape, include forests, hills, lakes, and the flora and fauna around the lake. All this becomes an interesting object of photography. Sunset also look beautiful in this region, so it is interesting to be taken with your camera. Besides beautiful and quiet, Lake Sanongguang is also a habitat for several species of birds, including endemic birds, the Flores crow or Curfus florensis, and some species of birds in the vicinity, among others Tessia timor or Tessia efervetti, Kipasan flores or Ripidura diluta, and Cekakak tungger white or Caridona fulgidus. Therefore, bird watching becomes an interesting activity in this lake. To visit this tourist area, there are several things you should consider. Due to the high concentration of sulfur, it is strictly prohibited visiting the lake during the rainy season. Bring a mask to cover your nose, just in case you cannot stand the pungent smell of sulfur. Bring something to eat and drink, because there is no shop in this area. And if you want to stay near the lake, then Nunang Hamlet may be an option. Actually, there are some homestays belongs to residents which can be hired. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Lake Sanongguang. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we present you the toppled glory of Sriwijaya Kingdom. Indonesia is indeed popular with its numerous kingdoms. It is said that a kingdom named Sriwijaya was able to expand its authority overseas. It was the heyday of Sriwijaya Kingdom. A Buddhist priest from China named Itsing wrote his visit to Sriwijaya Kingdom in 671. It is the writing that proves the existence of Sriwijaya Kingdom. The existence of this kingdom was also revealed through an old inscription made in the 7th century named Kedukan Bukit. This inscription was found in Palembang, South Sumatra. the inscription has number 605 Saka, or 688, which symbolizes a year. Sriwijaya is one of kingdoms in Indonesia that relied on sea as its main power. It was through sea that this kingdom could expand its territory to Malaya Peninsula, Cambodia, and even to South Thailand. The glory of Sriwijaya as written by Arabic and Chinese letters is never complete and intact. There are only kings who were known to lead the kingdom. In his reign, King Dapuntahyang has successfully expanded authority to Jambi by occupying Minangkabau. The territory was getting large when Sriwijaya Kingdom was led by King Balaputra Dewa. In the era of King Balaputra Dewa, Sriwijaya Kingdom grew rapidly, especially in the field of sailing and trade. Besides King Balaputra Dewa, built relations with kingdoms out of Indonesia, particularly kingdoms in India like Bengala or Nalanda Kingdom and Chola Kingdom. Moreover, in his reign, Sriwijaya Kingdom became trade center and Buddha religion spreading center in Southeast Asia. However, after King Balaputra Dewa passed away, misfortune hit Sriwijaya Kingdom. This is a nightmare for every kingdom. In the toppled glory of Sriwijaya Kingdom, this kingdom was led by King Sanggrama Wijaya Tunggawarman. In his reign, Sriwijaya Kingdom got a threat from Chola Kingdom. Under the leadership of King Rajendra Chola, Chola Kingdom attacked and seized Sriwijaya Kingdom. Sriwijaya King named Sanggrama Wijaya Tunggawarman was held hostage. However, in the reign of King Kulotongga I in Chola Kingdom, King Sanggrama Wijaya Tunggawarman was released again. Majapahit Kingdom then took advantage of the slump of Sriwijaya Kingdom at that time. Majapahit Kingdom then ended the glory of Sriwijaya Kingdom in the end of 14th century. Nevertheless, Sriwijaya Kingdom remains known as a kingdom in Indonesia, which has popularized Indonesia to various countries in Southeast Asia. Sriwijaya will always become the glory symbol of Sumatra and national big kingdom besides Majapahit in East Java. In the 20th century, the two kingdoms became reference for nationalists to show that Indonesia is a unitary state before the Dutch colonialism. Well, listener, that ends today's miscellany on the toppled glory of Sriwijaya Kingdom. I'm Hernita. Thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Daulat Pane, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. And in today's edition, I will present you a musical group, Safir. Well, listener, now let's listen to the first song, Beban Ini, by Safir, and here is the song. It is undeniable that many bands were born from Bandung in West Java and Surabaya in East Java, and also Medan in North Sumatra. Safir was a band that formed from the results of auditions in early 2008. The band from Medan was formed on togetherness, relationship, and love of its personality music. Safir name is taken from the modification of the names of the personnel such as Freddy vocals, Randa guitarist, Honey bassist, and Yudi drummers. Well, listener, now here is the next song, Tanpamu or Without You by Safir. Let's enjoy the song.
Thank you. Besides, it is taken from the names of the personnel. Sapphire's name is also the name of a precious stone, namely Sapphire. According to Randa, the guitarist, the name is also a prayer. Then they hope that this band could be as beautiful as gemstones and hopefully to be able to entertain the Indonesian music world. It did not take long for Sapphire to get into recording process for their album entitled Terima Kasih Kawan, or Thank You, My Friend. For the introduction, Sapphire has released a special single composed by Pai and Dewik entitled Bukan Aku, But You. By carrying pop rock music color with lyrics that tells the story of separation due to the lack of communication, making them easy to enjoy the music. Randa said that their music is pop rock and the lyrics is still about love, because love is universal, anyone has. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bukan Aku Tapi Kamu and Selamat Tinggal by Sapphire. So, let's enjoy the songs.
Apa rasanya cinta itu, aku sudah tak ingat seperti apa menyentuhmu. Aku sudah tak punya mimpi yang dulu. Saat indah denganmu, kau buat aku lupa dengan dirimu. Kau jauhiku,
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.